Well, by the grace of God this morning, my testimony is that I am one of those witnesses. The Lord has been real to me, has been good to speak to my heart and soul and extend the gift of salvation to me, of which I am very grateful. I've written on the board, joy in believing. Appreciate your attention today. I believe the Lord has something for us all, if we'll be open for it. Do you have joy in your belief this morning? Do you experience joy in believing, or do you believe with trepidation, with fear? I remember when I was a little boy, I'd read this book one time. Trying to learn to read, probably. And it had one of those simple little pictures in it. You know, it looked like somebody had drawn it with a pencil, just real simple. But it showed a dump truck and a man driving in the dump truck with a boy in the back of the dump truck. And they were driving over a lake of ice. So there was ice on the lake. And maybe you've read that little story, I don't know. And the boy in the back of the dump truck was terrified. I mean, they pulled off land and headed out over the lake. And I can kind of understand where his terror might have come from, not have grown up around lakes that froze. But he was terrified, and so there was a picture of a terrified boy. But in the front, the man that was driving the truck, which I think was his grandfather, he had the biggest smile on his face. It seemed like his head was hanging out the window and his arm was out the window. And he was just a happy man hitting that ice on the lake with that big old truck. And in the back, the boy was terrified. Which one are you this morning in your belief with Jesus Christ? Are you the one in the back of the truck that's fearful and afraid that, boy, we could fall through at any moment? Or are you the man that's got his arm hanging out the window, just joy in believing that that ice is well strong enough to take him across to the other side? Well, I know who I want to be. I know sometimes I'm tempted to be the boy in the back. But I believe that there's an experience for us this morning. We can have joy in believing. That's the message this morning. Two Sundays ago, we spent some time rejoicing. I hope you did. Did you spend time rejoicing two Sundays ago? That was Easter, wasn't it? We spent some time reflecting on the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how that He came to offer us an opportunity to do an about-face, which is a 180-degree turn, that we would be able to go in a different direction, that we could be delivered from those dark places of life that sometimes we find ourselves in, and how that Jesus came to move the tombstones that are heavier than what we're able to move on our own. And yet Jesus comes and in His power speaks the word. And He calls us by name, as He did Lazarus. And He says, come forth. And from that time on, souls have been coming forth. Souls that have been dead in spirit and dead spiritually before the Lord, in places that perhaps they thought they could never be saved from, and yet Jesus Christ came and He calls our names and says, come forth. And the Lord has continued to do that since the time He called Lazarus, and more importantly, since the time Jesus Christ rose from the dead of His own power and came forth out of that grave that day on Easter Sunday and has been calling people by name ever since. Last Sunday, by the help of the Lord, we endeavored to expose what we termed as the deadly duo, Mr. and Mrs. Doubt, those individuals, the spirit of the enemy that comes to try to intrude upon our spiritual lives and take up residence in our home, in our heart, in our mind, and cause us to doubt the very thing that Jesus Christ came to do for us, and how important it is that we understand the tool that the enemy uses to try to discourage us and to try to steal the very gift that Jesus came to bring, that's life-changing, that we be aware of it so that the enemy is not able to use that tool in our lives. Why? Well, for numerous reasons, but an important one is that the Lord has important work for you to do in His kingdom. Yes, for you. Jesus Christ has important work for you to do in His kingdom. And it's difficult to do the work of the Lord in His kingdom when we live our lives plagued with doubt and fear and trepidation, and we live our lives like the boy in the back of the dump truck, where all the way across, if you think about that lake, is our life, where we go from one side to the other, and the whole way across, we're just feel like we're just holding on for dear life, thinking that any minute we might be lost. And yet the Lord is calling us to be a light to the world, an example, that other people would be encouraged to step out into the water in faith, with a smile, with joy, in being able to believe that what the Lord brought is real and is something that we can count on. This morning I'm inspired to expand this thought just a little bit more before ending this little series that we've been on, because I believe that Jesus came, well, the Scripture tells us that He came to bring us life. And not just life, but what does the Scripture say? What kind of life did the Scripture say the Lord came to bring us? Say again. Abundant life. Not just a little bit of life, not just a little bit of bread and water to help us survive, but the Scripture tells us that Jesus came to bring abundant life, which includes joy in believing. And if you'd allow me, I think about it like this. I think about us living life somewhere in this spectrum. A range. So if there is a spectrum of where people are in life, some people are, they're lost, they're without hope, they're not even trying to be saved. They're really not even thinking about the Lord. They're just living their lives. We need to pray for them. We need to be a light to the world to reach out and show Jesus. But then there are people that would like to think that there's a God, but they just kind of doubt the whole thing. It just doesn't seem real to them, and so they live to themselves, and they think about maybe God a little bit, but there's just too much they don't understand, and there's doubt. This is a spectrum. There's people in between, too. That's what this is. It's a range. And then there are people that they want to be saved, and maybe they are saved. Saved, but they doubt. You probably can't read my chicken scratch up here. They're saved. They've asked the Lord to forgive them. They want to live right, but they just doubt. They just live their lives like the boy in the back of the dump truck. And then I think about people that they just plod along. They're just going through life, and Maybe they don't have a lot of doubt, but they just put their head down and there's not a lot of joy involved. And maybe most of their testimonies are of the plotting that takes place. And there's plotting that takes place in our Christian life. There's press. There's the press that we have to get through. But that's where they live their life. Just plodding along. And then, somewhere up here, there are those that believe with joy. Believe with joy. And you know what? That is where abundant life is. You might find life somewhere down here where you make it in. But you know what? If I'm going to go across the pond, if I'm going to live life, why do I want to be the boy in the back of the dump truck that's just holding on for dear life going across? Why not? Why not believe with joy? And that's what Jesus came, that we could be saved and we could believe with joy. I want to believe with joy. When the Lord looks down upon me, I don't want Him to find somebody that believes and is willing to get on the dump truck, but my knuckles are white all the way through life, afraid that I'm going to lose out at any minute, that maybe the Lord doesn't love me and I'm not good enough, and I'm probably going to get to the end. There's going to be something I didn't know about, and I'm not going to be able to make it in because of that. And there's mountains over there, and that piece of ice up ahead looks thinner than this piece of ice, and I don't know if I'm going to make it over that and live life all the way through like that. How about live with joy? Do you think it's possible? Do we think it's possible or not? Is it just possible in theory, or is it actually possible for you? Where are you this morning? If you were to put yourself on this spectrum, this scale, you lost? Jesus calls your name this morning, invites you to come. Do you doubt? Read the Scriptures, open your heart. Are you saved, but you just, it's a struggle. You worry all the time about your salvation. Are you a plotter? Well, I'm not doubting, it's just, oh, this is going to be a push all the way through. Or do you see the joy on the other side of the crosses that you're given to carry? Where are we? I believe that the Lord has opportunity for us all, wherever you are, to help us move this direction in our spiritual lives. You know, one of the first things Jesus would sometimes ask those that would come and ask Him for help, He would say, "Do you believe? Do you believe?" Opposite of doubt. Something that's foundational to our salvation. The Scripture says, "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Have you ever thought about that verse very much? That's a simple verse. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Think about all the things that it doesn't say. Could have said a lot of things. Do 100 push-ups in a minute, 25 pull-ups, run a mile in under 7 minutes, have works that's at top tier of your peers, be holier than most, sacrifice 90%, and you might be saved. Well, it could have said a whole lot of things, but it's not what it said. The verse simply says, believe. Believe on the name of who? Yourself? No, Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Power in believing. Romans 15 and 13 says, listen to this verse real close. Now the God of hope fill you with all Joy and peace in believing. That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And in the fear of the Lord, you know, this is me speaking now. This is me. I don't know where your heart is. But you know what I think? I think that too often we get this, we don't get this verse from beginning to end. Now the God of what? The God of hope. It didn't say the God that's looking for every reason to cast us to the side. It didn't say the God that brings despair. It didn't say the God of darkness. It said the God of hope. Of hope. And then it goes on and says, fill you with all joy and peace, not in achieving. That's not what it said. But it said in believing. But a lot of times our joy or our trust and our hope comes from us achieving. That's not what it said. This said in believing. That she may just barely scratch by and get across the lake. That's not what it says either. And it didn't even say just in hope. It says abound in hope. Through the power of what? Yourself? But that's what we often look to. Do you have peace? Do you have joy in believing? And one of the first things we think about is, well, I don't deserve to have joy in believing because this is who I am. And there's no way I can have joy in believing unless I was something different. But this doesn't say that. This says in the power of the Holy Ghost. Believing in what again? Ourselves? Our own righteousness? No, believing in Jesus. How liberating. How liberating to know that it's not all up to us, regardless of what it may look like. I think about it like this a little bit. You think about somebody that is trying to stay afloat in water. They believe they're over their heads and they're struggling and they're trying to tread water and they're trying to dog paddle and they are exhausting themselves out, feeling like that it's all up to them to stay afloat, only to find out that the ground's right underneath them. I remember one time that happened to me. I was out in the Pacific Ocean, and if you've never been there, it's much different than the Florida beaches. The Pacific Ocean has very big waves, very powerful waves. It can be a little scary. And I was out a little further than I should have maybe been out. And when those waves come in, I mean, they can pick you up quite a ways. And a bunch of water came in, and it picked me up. And I wasn't sure whether I was going or coming, and it was a little frightening, and I was doing everything I could to not end up in Asia. And I was just, I mean, I was giving it my all, and I was nervous and scared and expending all kind of energy, and then discovered there was water about 3 feet down, or ground 3 feet down. It was right there all the time. And I think that a lot of times we live life like that. We fight, we push, we strain, thinking that it's all up to us. And all the time, Jesus is right there saying, just, I'm here. I'm here for you. Rest. Be at peace. When Jesus calls and He says, trust me, be at peace, I'm carrying you. What do we do a lot of times? He's carrying us, and then we're like pushing on the top of His shoulders and trying to clamp our legs around, trying to help Him carry us, trying to hold our own weight when He's already carrying us. It's not necessary. And He's saying, just be at rest. Be at peace. Believe with joy. I don't think this is just theory. And I also think that there is a lot of professed Christians that are not living with joy. And we can. It's what Jesus came to bring us. Turn with me, if you will, to the 9th chapter of Matthew. Jesus asked a question of two blind men who came for help. Matthew 9 and 27. It said, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened." Jesus had just performed two miracles ahead of this. He healed the woman that had the issue of blood with 12 years. And he healed that woman as he was on his way to Jairus' house. Remember that story. And so while he was on the way to help his daughter, the woman with the issue of blood came, and then he got to Jairus' house and he performed that miracle, raised her from the dead. Remember, the people mocked him. He said, well, she's just sleeping. And the Lord came and he raised her up. And no doubt it caused quite a stir with the people, these miracles and what all was being said here. And as Jesus leaves Jairus' house, these blind men follow Jesus. And they're crying out to him, Son of David, have mercy on us. And the story tells us that when then Jesus reached the house that he was going to, well, I don't know whether he was spending the night there or that was his next destination, but when he got to the house, and it sounds like when he got in the house, that is when he asked them the question after they made the trek to the house. And he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And like some of Jesus' questions, sometimes some of his questions maybe seem strange. Maybe it's hard to understand why he asks what he asks. And here he asked him, do you have faith? Do you believe that you think that I can do this? And they had just witnessed or heard about these miracles that he had just performed, and these men showed a lot of persistence and determination. I don't know how far it was from Jairus' house to the place they were going, but it said that these men followed him all the way to the house and in the house, and they're blind. So they're blind men figuring out a way to follow Jesus, and all the while they're calling out to him. Seemed like they had faith. Seemed like they believed. Showed a lot of persistence. And their words indicated that they had faith. They called him Son of David. You know what Son of David represented at that time? It represented the Messiah. When you called him the Son of David, it was recognizing that you are the one that has been prophesied, the Messiah that has been prophesied. And they were calling him Son of David. And then they follow him right into the house where he's staying. They're not giving up. So why did then Jesus say, well, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They go, well, of course, these things just happened. So why did Jesus ask them whether or not they had faith? But listen again to his question. Listen to his question, if you will. What if Jesus said it this way? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? He was asking more than whether or not they believed he could do miracles. Because it sounds like they just saw that. He was asking about more than whether they believed he was the Messiah, because it sounds like they were already calling him that. Jesus was asking them, do you believe that I have the power to do this right now for you? You see, in theory, it's easier for us oftentimes to believe that Jesus is God's Son. It's often easier for us to believe that Jesus works miracles in other people's lives. It's easier for us to believe that Jesus has saving power for other people, but can be more difficult for us to believe with joy that Jesus Christ is able and desires to do this, whatever this is for you. He's able to do this for me. He's able to forgive my sins. He's willing to forgive my sins. He is willing to help me in my situation. Don't we do that sometimes as humans? We believe more for other people than what we believe for ourselves. But that's the kind of faith Jesus is looking for. He's looking for a people to have the kind of faith that these men did when he said, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said, yea, Lord. And Jesus touched them and healed them and said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And I think that that's part of the challenge this morning, is that we believe that Jesus will and can do this for us in our lives. And I think it goes beyond a challenge. I was encouraged this way with it this week, that it's a privilege. Why is it that we always think about it sometimes as just a challenge to believe, and we got to struggle and we have to earn the right and the ability to believe, as opposed to viewing it as it's a privilege. It's a gift. It's almost like we go into a room where we're going to get help from somebody and we're waiting to get help, and somebody comes in and they say, sir, right this way, please. Here, come with me. Enter into this room of belief. And we say, you mean that's all I have to do? You mean just believe? I don't have to achieve first? I don't have to earn the right to believe first? I can just rest and be at peace that the promises that you've given me are true and right, and that they apply to me, and I can just and believe? Yes. Yes. Folks, that's what Jesus came for us. Claim it. There's a little girl that I know very well, and she says this sometimes. When you say things that are well beyond her years and she shouldn't know it, she says, oh, I didn't know that. You know what I think a lot of times what we think we know is that we have to earn our way into belief, that it has to be a struggle. And yet the Lord's invitation to us is just believe. Believe in me. It's His will that we simply believe. And that's where the joy is. Okay. I have just a few minutes left. Yes, there are times, perhaps there are many times, when we do have faith. And perhaps there are many times when we show the same degree of determination and persistence that these blind men displayed. And we do our part to exercise our faith in the Lord in this thing, whatever it is in your life. And then the answer doesn't come. Perhaps you've already thought about that throughout the course of the message. That's Mr. and Mrs. Doubt coming and saying, yeah, but. What about the things that you pray for and you don't get them? How does that fit into all of this? I think sometimes that's the reason why if somebody were to ask you, well, do you believe? And if you're anything like most, sometimes we say or we think, well, I believe that He can, but I'm not sure that He will. Have you ever thought that before? But I don't know that that's so bad. I don't know that that's so wrong. Do you want Jesus to do everything that you ask just like you ask? His ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. I remember I was a young man in my early 20s, either just out of school or almost out of school, and I had was at work, and I had spent hours and hours on this design drawing, many days. I don't even remember what it was. But hours designing this thing to have built. And I mean, designing it down to the gnat's eyebrow, you know. Detail all the way down to the end. And I finally got the last revision done. Proud of my document. Put it on a D-size drawing. And folded it all up like you're supposed to fold it. Fold it in half this way and then flip that one that way and the other one and over. I mean, I had it. It was a beautiful package. Everything designed just perfect. Took it downstairs. Went to an old millwright that had been around for a lot of years. And he kind of took me under his wing and I said, Mr. Reese, can you build this for me? And gave him the drawing, and I'll never forget. We're standing outside the shop, and he opens the drawing up, and I'm standing there, and he's standing here. He's gray-haired with partial hair, and at that time, I'm full head of black hair, a long time ago. That's the picture. And the gray-haired man was looking at my drawing with very little expression. And I'm standing there waiting. And pretty soon he looks up with his glasses over the top of the paper at me. Still almost no expression. Take this with you. If you don't remember anything else, take this with you this morning. This is what he asked me. He said, do you want me to build this just exactly like you have it drawn? Now, that's code for you got something really bad wrong on this drawing. That's code for if you say yes, you're getting ready to be in a real mess after it gets drawn, after it gets built. It isn't going to work like you thought it was going to work. And I remember hearing that, and the alarm bells were going off and the flags were raising. And I said something like, it sounds like maybe not. What's wrong? Why is it that sometimes we come to God and we've got our plan, we've got it all packaged up, we know exactly what we need in life, and we've spent time thinking about it, and it's all designed out, and I mean, we see, we know, we get the picture, and then we come to God with our prayers and we present it to Him, to God, to the epitome of the one that knows all. And He looks over at us and He says, "Are you sure you want me to do this just exactly like you're asking?" And why is it that sometimes we're so ready to say yes? Why is it that and it's almost like if the Lord doesn't do exactly like we ask, then somehow He's failed us and He hasn't answered our prayers and He doesn't care and He doesn't love us and maybe He's forsaken us. Why? How about coming to the Lord with the best that we know and we come before Him with our needs and our hearts and we say, Lord, could you help me with this? And He looks at it and He says, do you want this just exactly like you have it drawn? How about saying, oh Lord God, you're God, I'm human, you're the creator, I'm the created, and Lord, I want your will to be done in my life. Lord, that's where my rest is. My joy comes from believing that you know better than I do and that you love me and you care for me and that I can trust you. We preached a short time ago that our peace really is trusting in His will. So that when we come to Him, even if the answers aren't exactly like we designed and we thought, that doesn't mean that He's failed us. That doesn't mean He's not answering our prayers. That doesn't mean that somehow the ground's not there beneath us and we're still flailing and it's all up to us to try to survive. He's saying, be at peace. Relax. Believe with joy. I'm God. I have an expected end for you. And it is an end of peace, not trouble. I think good thoughts towards you. And I want to do something special for you. And folks, if we can internalize this truth and get a hold of it and send doubt out to pasture, and if we can capture a vision of the joy on the other side of the crosses and the mountains and the ice that looks thin and we're not sure how we're going to get across it, and we can rest in knowing that Jesus does love us, His promises are true, I can count on Him, just simply believe. If we can do that, we will find the secret, the key to abundant life and to experience joy in believing, where we can say, not my will, but thine be done, and rest in that. This morning, in the fear of the Lord, it is time for us here. To experience joy in believing. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.